But anyway, if you would, open your Bibles up to John chapter 5 is where we're going to be at. I want to begin by with reading one verse in verse 19, and then we'll just kind of talk about this scenario a little bit. And chapter 5 of John and verse 19, I know we're going through John, and you're like, Brother Mitch, you missed the woman at the well. I realize that. God told me to save it for some reason. So it's a really good, I love the woman at the well story, but God told me to save it. So I'm saving it for when He tells me to. I guess I could repeat it. I don't know. I'm just trying to do what I feel like I'm supposed to. But anyway, John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just want to ask for Your guidance tonight as we dive into Your Scriptures. We're thankful for all the events that You've done today that we've been able to participate in to honor You and praise You with song and seeing the kids do a work that justifies Your name and be able to present Your gospel in a way that's different than is often done. But Lord, help our minds to concentrate on You tonight to see what it is that You have for us, especially as we see what Jesus here has done, that what He does, He's seeing You do. And He is following what You tell Him to do. And He is our example. Help us, Lord, to see how Jesus works in the situations and the affairs of this world so that we can better understand how we're supposed to live our lives on a daily basis. Let Your Spirit lead us and guide us. Give us an understanding that maybe we didn't have before and draw from the authority of Your Scriptures. Guide me, and Lord, in the words that I speak, that I may say those things that are holy and acceptable unto You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we get to chapter 5 here, and some of you probably know this story. It's about the Pool of Bethesda. It's a very, very unique situation here. We have Jesus here working in John chapter 5, and He comes to this pool. It's like a swimming pool. If you can tell from the picture, it's got two different. This is what they've discovered from archaeology. This is a reconstruction drawing of what they actually found there at the Pool of Bethesda. It's a real place. And just as an introduction to it, you know, as I was studying this, they used to think that John just made this up. They didn't want to accept the story from John as an authoritative piece. They thought, you know, he didn't really understand. It doesn't make sense. This story, there's nowhere like this, John. Well, just so happens within the last 50 years, they dug it up. The scriptures that they said, no, you're making that story up, John, has been validated through archaeology. They found it. They found the Pool of Bethesda. And the story, you know, as you read this story, some of it seems really odd to us. Because this pool here, according to John chapter 5, as the story goes, is that an angel would come and stir the waters. And if you were sick or lame or whatever, if you jumped in the water first, you would be healed. And you're like, well, this doesn't, that doesn't add up with God. And you're absolutely right, because this was not a worship place for the God of Israel. This was a pagan worship center. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But Jesus goes to this place, and He sees this man. He's been there a long time. I think the scripture says like 38 years. He's been lame. And He says, I've got nobody, whenever the water stirred, to push me in. Micah would like it, you know, if I was there and the water got stirred and I just gave you a chunk, you'd like that, wouldn't you? They used to love that when they were kids. I'd throw them up in the air and as high as I could. The smaller they were, the higher they could go, and they loved it. Parents didn't like it. Grandparents hated it. But the kids enjoyed it. But this lame man, he said, there's nobody to put me in. I've got no one. And Jesus says, I'll heal you. Take up your bed and walk. So the guy, immediately strength comes to him. Whatever was his problem was gone. He rolls up his bed and he takes off down the road. There was a problem. It was a Sabbath. And you know, our critical law keepers of the Old Testament law made up a few rules and said, well, you can only travel this distance and you're not allowed to carry anything. Even though we don't care that your bed has been beside the pool of Bethesda, you're breaking the law because you're taking your stuff home because, you know, you're well. You're not supposed to be well on the Sabbath day. Boy, I'd hate that if y'all were all sick on every Sunday. I'm like, how do we ever get anybody here? You know, I know some people like that. They're always sick on Sunday. They can go to the ball games during the week. They can do Walmart. Thinking about going to Walmart makes me sick. But no, they can go to Walmart. They can do all their other stuff. But Sunday, something's not feeling right. They're like that song, Excuses. We're going to do that one day. That's a fun song too. But they just, something's going on. Something goes wrong every time that they're supposed to be at the house of the Lord. Well, they're like, no, you don't get healed on the Sabbath. You don't carry your bed. You don't carry nothing. It's against the rules. Quit breaking those rules. We got a rule for everything. Don't look at me like that. Some people have that rule in their house, don't they? You better not look at me like that. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. So so they asked, well, I was told to do this by the guy who made me well. And they're like, who healed you? You know, I forgot to get his name. He's like, you didn't tell me his name. Jesus hadn't given him his name. But later on, Jesus finds him somewhere, finds him in the temple, worshiping. And I'm glad the guy was finally going to the right place to worship, but he had had a problem in his past. And Jesus confronts him and says, how are you doing? And the guy and Jesus introduces himself as the Messiah, as the one who healed him. And he tells him, don't sin anymore, lest something worse happens to you. So obviously the guy had something in his past that caused him to become lame. He was probably disobeying his parents. They said, don't run in the church building. And he tripped over something and broke his leg and was crippled after that. That could happen. Couldn't it, Noah? Yeah, he knows. He bears the mark. So he's got this going on. But what I want you to see from this story is that Jesus is doing something. God told him to go here and heal this guy to make a point about faith. Faith for us to see how God is working and to see where he's working, even if it might not be somewhere where we'd like, but so that we can get an idea of it. So go to that next slide. Real quick, Brother Sean. Here's another picture of it. The Bethesda, go ahead and hit that next one. It says Bethesda, it's the house of grace. That's what it stands for. But it was really a pagan worship center. It talks about five columns there. And they were, you know, one of the problems that they had when they were looking for this is they were looking for an octagon building, and it wasn't. It actually had five pillars there. And they had these symbols around. As you go through this slideshow, you'll see some of the pictures of what they found. But this pagan worship, the god, I can't even say it right. The Egyptian was Scrupius, Asclepius or something. It was the god who heals, and that was the Greek god. It's a what? Serapis. Okay, well, Micah, he knows how to do it. In their history lessons that they do, they've already studied this. They know better than me, probably. And good for them. I was not taught this whenever I was growing up, that this was a pagan god who operated on saying that they could heal. You know what they were? They were snake handlers. They would have images of they would have snakes in there and snakes wrapping around the pole. Have you ever seen that? You ever seen a snake wrapped around a pole? We still kind of use some of that symbolization today. Look, every time you see an ambulance pass by, look at the back. See what you see on it. Well, that they pulled that from this Roman god or the Egyptian god. So this guy, he wants healing. He wants healing from God, but the thing is he's not going to the right place to get what he actually needs. You see, his faith was bound up in something. He wasn't looking to where God was actually at. He was looking for some instant gratification. Oh, I want to be healed instantly. The water's going to turn. I want to jump in and be healed. You know what that water turning was? If y'all remember that first picture, there was an upper level and a lower level. They would open the dam up from the upper level, and it would flow down into the other one and stir the water. It kind of looked like a swimming pool. If you've ever been to a swimming pool, when the water comes out of the jets, it looks like the water's churning. That's just to circulate the water so it doesn't become stagnant. That's what was going on. And it was a false healing method that they had to attract people. And it worked, obviously. There was a bunch of people there, including the lame man, and Jesus went to see him. Can you imagine? Jesus walks in. He didn't go there. Go to that next slide. He didn't go there to preach. But he went there to confront the faulty faith of this man. He knew he had grown up understanding the laws, because later on he's in the Jewish synagogue. He's doing what he's supposed to do. But it seems like as he can't make it to church, to the right place, he goes to the wrong place. We never see that in our culture, right? They're like, I can't make it to church on Sunday morning. I have no problem making it to the ball game on Friday night. You know, that it's the same thing. It makes me feel better. Those make me feel better. At church, Brother Mitch, you just convict me. I don't need none of that. Well, because I want you to get over your faulty faith. And some people, they're like in Romans 14:1 there. It says, him that is weak in faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. You see, there, sometimes when people have little faith, they really have strong convictions. That's why it's hard to get them to church sometimes. They really have a strong belief about how loving and how good God is. But not about how they're going to be judged according to their works. They're like, no, that's not really God. See, what they've done is they've conformed to God in their own image. They have faulty faith. They have little faith in who the real God is, but they have strong convictions about who they think that he is. You ever seen some people like that? Sometimes they call themselves even Christians. Their faith really isn't very strong in God and what God can do, but they really have strong convictions about their little faith, their ideas that they have already formed about how they're gonna make what they want happen. Now, what are we supposed to do with that? Well, we're supposed to do like Jesus did. This man, he had little faith in the God of Israel, because he wasn't outside the temple. We'll read later on in the book of Acts that there was a lame man outside the temple that Jesus passed by on a regular basis. Never was healed. Peter healed him. He knew who those guys were. This guy was not at the temple. He was at this pagan worship center. He was where he was not supposed to be. And what are we supposed to do? We receive them, and we try to minister them, and we try to mentor them and grow them, and help them to understand the truth and the authority of God's scriptures. But we're not gonna accept their misunderstanding of God, who God is. We're not gonna let them teach a false doctrine among us. We'll set the standard straight. We'll make sure that the authority comes from the scripture, not from men's ideas. And there's a lot of that right now. A lot of little faith, very strong convictions about that. I hope I explained that. You have to really see it to understand it, and I'm sure many of you have witnessed some of that before. I can remember whenever the younger I was as a Christian, the more I believed that the rules were actually what saved a person. And if you broke them, I'd write you off real quick. But the more I've grown in my faith, the more faith that I've had, the less convictions I have over some of that stuff in the past. Now, some of my convictions have gotten a lot stronger, but it points towards the Bible, not my ideas. And if that makes sense, little faith people, they have a lot of ideas that aren't right. Strong faith people, people with a lot of faith, they have a lot, their convictions are based on the Scripture, not on their ideas. You see, what has happened is they have been conformed into the image of Jesus Christ more than what they were when they were first saved. And that's okay. It's a growing process. That's why him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, grow them, but don't let them settle in those disputations. Don't let them doubt. Let them stay in those things that are wrong. We're not going to have an argument about it, but I'm going to show you the truth from the Scripture. If you won't accept it from the Scripture, then you're not going to accept it from me. This is the authority. All I'm doing is looking at the authority, and that's what we're supposed to do. That's what Romans 14 is talking about. So we got to get this guy, this lame guy, we got to get him right in the faith. Get him to the right place. And that's what Jesus was doing. Came to the place where he was not supposed to be at, to get him healed up where he could go to the right place and learn about salvation the right way. Go ahead and go to the next slide, Brother Sean. So Jesus approaches this guy. He's lame. Jesus is not there to preach. He's after one thing. This lame guy. God has said, I don't know who this lame person was. God had a plan for him. And he told Jesus, go get this man out of that false worship center and get him back on the right track. But this guy had a little bit of a problem. You see, he would make an excuse to his situation. You see, for me, if people are going to make excuses, I can't help them. I need them to accept the facts. Some of those facts is about their own personal selves. See, if you make excuses, well, I can't because of this, or this might happen, and they make excuses. Or else they will do like Romans 2 and verse 15 says, their thoughts and the meanwhile, they accuse others or they excuse another. That means that they have some problems, they say it's their fault, or I can't because of this. Well, that's a generation that we're seeing right now. They don't want to carry their own blame. This guy never said, I'm here in this situation because I did something wrong. He never brought that up. Jesus will bring that up. This guy, no, I don't. He accuses others first. Nobody will help me. I can just picture that whining voice that this lame guy was saying. Nobody's here to help me get in the pool. Y'all ever heard some whiners like that? Oh my goodness. I struggle. That's a doubtful disputation right there to me. I want to get them over it. You might even hear me say, you want some cheese with that wine? I know that's not appropriate probably. But the point is, stop whining about stuff. Accept some responsibility for some things going on in your life. You see, we can't get them to Jesus. They're not going to accept the authority of the Scriptures because they're like, the reason I'm lost is not even my fault. And see, Jesus is working in this guy's faulty faith, and he's like, it's their fault. They're not here to help me. Nobody will help me. And then he accuses others. He's like, well, they get in first. They should wait for me. Does that sound like any people that you know today? Man, this story is all about the way that the way that some of our kids are raising their kids now, huh? that they expect things that they haven't done anything for, just because they exist, that they think the world revolves around them. And that's not the way it is. You see, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to see like Jesus did. What if Jesus had this attitude? That he's like, no, I'm doing what I want to do and not what the Father tells me to. No, he says the opposite. He says, whatever the Father's asking me to do, whatever he's doing, then I get behind what he's doing and I follow him. And this guy, he is basically the opposite example. He is one that we see going his own way, and it has led him to a problem. He did something to himself to cripple himself. Whereas Jesus comes on the scene, he's doing the work of the Father, and he takes care of this guy regardless that he's a whiner, making excuses and accusing other people at the same time. Go to the next slide, Brother Sean. He says, here's where he says it. He says, I have no man to put me into the pool. Another steppeth down before me. Behold, thou art. And then Jesus said, he overlooks this. Man, isn't it just like Jesus? This is where I still have a lot to learn. Is because, you know, whenever they start whining in verse 7, I'm like, you know, I'm trying to help you. Let me help you help yourself. Let me help you get to the next phase in your life so that you can get over this. Jesus, he disregards that, and he says, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing comes unto thee. Now, he says this after he meets the guy at the temple. We probably didn't get the whole text of the conversation that Jesus had with this guy, but he goes to the temple. And when Jesus finds him, Jesus went looking for this guy. You know that when you're God, you can know when somebody that you've healed is in the right place. And he goes and he pats him on the back. You're in the right place, buddy. But don't do what you did before to get yourself in that situation. Remember what you did in the past. Don't go there anymore. You see how it got you in trouble. You see how it brought you into a bad situation. Don't do that. Sin no more. You see, this guy, he had some sin in his life. And Jesus says, don't do it again. In fact, keep serving God. Keep seeking him. Keep growing in faith. And this story is for our example. Go to the next slide. Here's a picture of that pillar that I was talking about, one of the pillars that they found there. It's got the snake wrapped around it. That's not what this lesson is about, but I'm just telling you what that pillar is. So, for us, how does this apply to us? Where's God working? Can you see where God is working at Bethany Baptist Church? That's how this applies to us. We need to see, well, where is God really working? And get behind those efforts. You know, a lot of times God is working just small steps at a time. That is not how I like to work, but I understand that's how God works. So I have to, the reins have to be pulled back on me. I have to calm down because I would, you know, I won't, you know, when it comes to like a big piece of pie or a pie, I want a big piece. I want to really feel the full effect of the taste, not take little pieces at a time. God works small steps. And the reason he does, because he knows I can't really handle that big piece. I'll get a bad sugar rush. You know, I need more healthy things in my diet. A big piece of pie really isn't good for you, Mitch. Take a little bit at a time and let me work to that area where you need it the most. So where is God working? That means that we need to be listening to God. We need to be doing like Jesus did. Like he did in verse 19. He says, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. What do we see the Father doing in our lives? You know, he's doing something here at Bethany, but he also should be doing something in each individual person's life. Where is he working in your life? How is he pushing you to grow? How is he helping you to be a witness to people that you see on a regular basis? Some people you don't see on a regular basis. How is he using you to talk to them, to draw them to the faith? God's putting some people in your path. Don't look past it. See where he's working. Nothing happens by chance. He is in control. He is just like Romans teaches, Romans 10:17. All things work together for the good to them who are called according to his purpose. Well, everyone is called that's saved. Even the ones that are not saved, God's working in their life. He's trying to get them to the point where they can be saved. He's working in their lives. You might be the instrument. You might be the tool that says you need to be the witness. And it doesn't matter whether you're Noah's size all the way to the oldest person here. God's working. He's not done with you. If you're still kicking, if you're still breathing, God is working in your life. See where he's working and get with him. Just like Jesus said in verse 19. He's our example. Next slide. When this is happening, just like the song says, don't expect the devil to applaud. He's going to try to put some people in the way. He doesn't want you to follow God. He's going to try to put some obstacles there. Some Pharisee-type people. Some other people that are like, false ideas. Give you some false perceptions of who God really is. He's going to put some obstacles there. Psalms 37:14 will say, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. See, the devil has got his hordes. It is you against the hordes. The thing about it is that God is with you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Even if the wicked have drawn out their sword, bring it on. If it's just me and God, that's what we need to do. Did Jesus need a bunch of people around to heal this guy? No. He doesn't need a bunch of people around to lead another soul to himself. He might just want to use you. But he's probably not just using you. He's probably using Noah and Micah and Isaac. And as we go throughout the rest of the room, he might be using all of us in some sense. And so you have to see, where is God working? But also, keep in mind, the wicked one wants to work against you. And to keep that, and to be on the lookout. Where is he trying to plug his two cents in? How is he trying to mess up God's work? He's always trying to disrupt God and to bring in a counterfeit and to give a false illusion to what God is doing. We don't need to follow the devil. We need to follow God. Look at the next scripture there. So if we're looking for where God is working and join him, now the devil, he's got his. And it's probably likely that we were all in this boat at one time. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, we can see where the devil's working a lot of times because we've been there. We've seen him work in our life. And God, and what he's trying to do, we need to make sure that we're following God and not following the prince of the power of the air. That we're following Jesus Christ. Where is Jesus working? Follow what Jesus is working. Where is the devil working? Well, the scripture tells us how to deal with... What does the scripture tell us, Noah and Micah, about dealing with the devil? Do y'all know? To pray? Yeah, when the devil starts messing with you, to pray. He says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So we have to resist this work because he still wants to mess with you. He still wants to mess up what God is doing in you. And he'll plant those seeds of doubt. He'll plant those seeds of fear. if you have the doubt, if you have the fear, no. If there's any fear there, it's not from God. You know how I know that? I think it's 1 Timothy 1:7. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Any fear there? Not from God. It's from this joker right here, the prince of the power of the air. And I'm not pointing at Brother Sean when I do that. I'm pointing at the screen. I just thought about that. Don't listen to Brother Sean. Look, as we conclude here, so let's talk about that lame man just one more time. Go back one slide, Brother Sean. True healing comes when you spend time with Jesus, not believing fairy tales. You see, this man, he had believed a false gospel. He had received a false religion in his life. And was he healed by it? No. They got his money, they got his time, but they never offered him healing. True healing comes from Jesus Christ, not from this world's fairy tales. And you know how I know this isn't a fairy tale? Because they actually found this place. They found this place. If they couldn't find it, then we could talk about it. But they found it. And they keep finding things. You look in the Book of Mormon, all those places that the Book of Mormon talks about, can't find any of them. They look, they search, can't find them. So you don't need to trust fairy tales. You trust the authority that God has given to us. His book of prophecy. We need to apply this to our life, just like the kids were teaching us this morning. The second thing, don't make excuses. We've got to get over that in our life. I don't need to make excuses. You don't need to make excuses. What we need to do is take responsibility. And when God has something for us to do, well, we just agree with God about that situation. If there's sin involved, confess it and do like Jesus said. Don't sin anymore. Get over it. Don't do it. Don't make excuses. Don't accuse somebody else. It's not their problem. It's my problem. How am I going to deal with it? Well, applying Jesus to my life will help me do that. And that is really agreeing with God about my situation to get me through this hurdle. And that's what this guy needed. That's what he needed. Go to the next one, the final one. We're almost done there. You guys ready for me to be done? You are? Oh, man. No love from the front pew this afternoon. So what do we need to do? This is what we need to do. We need to look for where God is working. I've said that like 100 times. It's important that we humble ourselves and not look for my own personal ambitions, but that I look to see where God is working. Noah, do you know where God is working? He is working in everybody's life. Do you know where He's working in your life? Oh, he hadn't been looking. But you know what's bad? I picked on Noah. But if I went around the room and I asked each person, what I'd hear is crickets. Because that's not something that we think about very often. We don't think about, well, where really is God working in my life? That means that we really do need to stop for a little bit. Let Jesus approach us like he did this lame guy that he healed and said, you see what I'm doing in your life? Where do you think I want you to go with this? That's why the Apostle Paul will teach us that we need to be led by the Spirit, because the Spirit will show us where God is wanting me, where he's working, and the direction that he wants me to go. Is there something he makes you think about all the time? Is there something like that? When you come to church, you're like, man, it would really be nice if we could do this or we could do that. It may be that God's talking to you. If he hadn't laid it on my heart, that means he's not talking to me about it. But if he's laying it on your heart, that means he's helping you think about it. He may want you to. That scares people. Oh, I can't do that. Hey, sometimes it's called faith. God wants us to take some steps of faith He wants us to grow in His grace. It may be that we have some faulty faith that we've generated in our own self, and it has to be removed. For that to happen, that means that you have to be healed. And you can only be healed by Jesus Christ. When you allow Him to intervene in your life, is there something He's making you think about on a regular basis? Do you see a need? I bet you do see some needs. Think about it. What would God have me to do about this need? Sometimes you'll see needs. You can't fix them all at once. But what it is, it's a step process. It's a growing in faith process. Baby steps. One small step at a time. We talked about that on a Wednesday night. That just with the jot and the tittle that we see in God's Word, that the name of Yahweh, it has a jot and a tittle in it. A small step. That means that God works even in small steps. And that's how He's going to work in our life. That's how He's going to work in the church. It's very rare that He just takes humongous steps to get you where you need to be. You're not ready. When I joined the Air Force, I went in as an airman basic. Straight out of high school. And that was needful for me to be at the bottom of that totem pole. I wasn't ready to be in charge. I was shy. I wasn't used to talking to people. I definitely didn't know what I was doing. I couldn't march. I didn't even know how to put the uniform on. They told me to clip the strings off the bottom of my pants, off my pants. I clipped the drawstrings at the bottom too. That's a no-no, by the way. Don't do that. They let me know about that one. I had to buy a new pair of pants because I cut the drawstrings off. We didn't even use them. Anyway, long story there. Not a painful memory. Anyway, but God, you know, God wants us to grow, and He's going to grow us. Don't be afraid to join God and take some steps of faith. Don't be afraid to do that. You see, if He's making you think about it, you see the need. There actually is a need. If there's something, there is something I can do. Maybe it's small steps. Like with this guy. You know, God, Jesus went up to him, got him to admit his situation. Yeah, he was a millennial written in and out. Nothing's his fault. Everything is someone else's fault. But Jesus confronted him about it and said, "You know, this is all you, buddy. Don't sin anymore." And that's what He wants to do in me. He wants me to get over myself. He wants me to walk in His ways and not be afraid to take some of those steps. Sometimes it hurts. Especially if it's dealing with finances, it may hurt. Maybe it's friends that we really like those people around. Maybe they're bad news for us. You ever have those people that every time you get around them, they make you feel bad, like you want to choke them? Y'all don't know anybody like that. Y'all can't talk about each other like that. I had this guy when I was in tech school. He wanted to, we're running out of time. Here's one more story, though. I know y'all like stories. But he used to listen to Nine Inch Nails every night when he'd go to bed. I don't know if y'all have ever listened to that. Don't. It's like, I don't know, horrible, horrible music, even worse lyrics. And he'd listen to this all night long. I would wake up really wanting to kill him. Like, I mean, there was evil stuff in that music. And I'm like, man, you got to quit playing that music or one day I'm going to kill you. You know what he did? He quit playing that music. I think he realized I was telling him the truth. It made me just feel hate and rage. There really was something to that. But see, the problem was he wasn't a good friend. He wasn't trying to uplift me. He was doing stuff to bring me down, to make me feel that way. The devil had a good hold of him. Be a part of the solution, not of the problem. Y'all probably heard that a million times. That's seeing the need. Wanting to say, how can I be a part of this? A lot of things, it takes not just one person, but many people. And that means when we go out into the community. Because that's what Jesus was doing. He was going out. He was trying to reach those people that were the hardest to reach. Everybody can't do the same job. We know that there's a problem. We know that there's a need. I don't think anybody in this room would say there's not a need. There's an absolute need. When we start looking at just the numbers from Jonesboro, Arkansas, of who, 20 years ago, like 80-85% Christian in our area, and now it's down to almost 50%. That's a big change. Almost 40% change in 20 years. The need is great. The demand is huge. It's an impossible task. Bethany Baptist Church, if all of us worked as hard as we could every single day to reach people, it still wouldn't be enough. Every church would have to be on board with that. Now we can't control those people, but we can control this person, ourselves. And say, what am I going to do? Lord, where are you working in our church to reach it? And that's what we got to do. We've got to see where God is working. And it's not just reaching out. It's inside the church. How can we teach the next generation to serve God and to help them be soul winners better than what we are? That's what we need. That's the goal that we need to set. To grow them up in the love and the admonition of the Lord, and to not lose that love and admonition of the Lord ourselves. But to say, you know, that lame man, he may have been looking for what he needed in the wrong place, but I'm going to make sure that I'm in the right place, and I'm hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, I don't just want to hear it. I want to present it, because it's not just enough that I hear it. I need to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. I need to take steps of faith. When was the last time we took a step of faith? Can you recall when you took that last step of faith? If you can't, it's time. Take that step. Don't be afraid. God's not putting that fear in you. Somebody else is. You know where you've come from, but there's so many more that are in that situation now, and we can get them out if we present the gospel of Jesus Christ His way. Not conforming to the image of the world, but conforming to the image of His Christ. So with that, look where God is working, and join Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for your love and your mercy. I want to thank you for the lesson of the lame man and how Jesus worked in his life. Lord, would you work in our lives just like that? Would you help us to see needs? Help us to search for those needs. Help us to desire to win the lost at any cost. Hurt our hearts for those who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, whether they're friends or family, acquaintances. Lord, break our hearts, because we know that your heart is broken. Especially as we see our country steadily going down this, it looks like a free fall of moral decay. Help us, Lord, to see the need, to desire to feel the need. Whatever it is that we can do, we know that we can't do it all, but we can do some. And if all are doing some, we know a revival can break out. We know an awakening can happen. Lord, we need that. Confront us about our own personal sin, where we have faltered. Where do we have faulty faith? Take that away from us. Get us back on the right track. Help us to be renewed in your spirit each and every day, and to grow in grace and to teach others the same. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this day and what you've done for us. Guide us in your ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all can all stand if you want. I've had a request.